Hello, and welcome back to Multiform, an Xbox podcast. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined this week by Spencer Rain.
Hello, everybody that listens to this podcast.
That was a really strange intro.
I'm mixing it up.
Gus Harden.
Hey, what's up?
He's back.
Yeah, finally.
He got fired, that's why he's back.
Fired and then rehired.
And yeah, he didn't actually get fired. Or did he? I don't know.
So this is the week we've been talking about since we started the podcast over 6 months ago, which is every game releasing in Q1 on the same week.
And only Tim did the research, because none of us got the games except Tim.
Well,
he got Crackdown and Far Cry.
Yeah, I got Crackdown and Far Cry, but Crackdown's in Game Pass, so whatever. And then Jump For, or what's it called? Jump?
The song by Van Halen?
No, the Jump Force, or is that the name of it? The anime multiplayer game?
Apex Legends? So wait, is this based off the hamster movie? Or wait, no, that's X-Force.
No, yeah, I was just trying to list all the games that came out this week, because it was Far Cry New Dawn, Crackdown 3, Anthem if you're on PC or the EA Access Early Trial, and then Jump Force, which is the anime fighting game. It's got like Dragon Ball Z characters, Naruto characters, and a bunch of others.
I just fact-checked myself. It's G-Force. Sorry, continue.
The hamster spy movie.
The hamster spy movie that's now an anime fighting game on Xbox One.
What's the other game that came out this week? Wasn't there one more?
Metro Exodus. I was the one that was interested in that, and I haven't bought it yet because I'm waiting to get paid.
So. Well, I mean, I'm interested in it, but I haven't finished Metro Last Light, and there's a bunch of other games, so I'll probably wait and play it a few months.
Yeah, so speaking of that, they attached Metro Last Light, or Metro 2033 Redux with all Metro Exodus purchases. So that's going to kind of stress me out because I've already beaten it, but it doesn't say that I've beaten it because I beat it in Metro Redux. They did the same thing with like Shadow of Mordor, how there's like three different versions of the game and each one has their own achievements and they don't carry over.
It stresses me out. Yeah, this happened to me because remember I bought Metro Redux as a disc bundle and ended up getting rid of it and rebuying it digitally. And the digital I had to start over because the saves don't carry over.
I don't know. Those are the only two instances I can think of, Metro and then Shadow of Mordor. But anyways, yeah, hopefully next episode I'll be able to talk about it.
I think The Witcher 3 is the same way. The complete edition is not the same as the base game plus the DLCs.
I don't think so, because it says that I have, whenever I go to look at that, because it's always on sale, it says I have it installed. So, and I didn't buy it that way. I bought the disc and then digital for the DLC. So I don't think so. I mean, I don't actually have proof because I haven't played it separately like that, but I know for the other two that that's the case.
So, having not played all the new releases we just talked about, but having played several of them, if you go to like Metacritic or OpenCritic and look at the scores of most of these games, most of them are not doing so well. Metro is getting very good reviews. Far Cry is getting okay reviews.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now.
It seems like most critics were knocking it for not being different enough from Far Cry 5. But then Jump Force is in the 5s and 6s. Crackdown 3 is in the 5s and 6s out of 10.
Wow, so I'm on Metacritic right now, and the Metacritic for Crackdown 3 is 60. Metacritic for Metro Exodus is 81, and
which is decent.
That's good. I would say that's
good. What about Jump Force? Where does that score?
Not in the top 10. Hold on, I'll just search it. Jump Force.
Yeah, it should be in the new releases.
60.
Yeah, so I point that out as in, like, the stuff that came out this week, it was, you know, a lot of it was highly anticipated, but it isn't doing so well, except for we don't have reviews really yet for Anthem because they did this weird release schedule where the PC is out this week, but you can only play on Xbox if you have the EA Access, and it's only a trial, so you can't really play the full game. So most sites haven't put out a review yet, which is, I guess, strange, but they're probably all waiting for it to be available on all consoles.
Yeah, New Dawn is a 73. I didn't say that earlier. So
yeah, and you know,
the user scored 2.6, but you can't trust those, as we've talked about, review bombing and whatnot.
Well, and so I started Far Cry New Dawn, and to be honest, like, the reviews that I looked at said that it was just more of Far Cry 5, and they knocked it for not being different enough, and they liked the villains less, and I mean, that's basically what my thoughts are so far. I'm only, you know, I did the tutorial where it goes to the title screen and then a few missions after that. So I'm not deep into it, but it definitely feels like Far Cry 5 skinned in, you know, this different look and feel. Although some of the menus and stuff initially made me think it felt like it started as an expansion and then grew larger while they were developing it. But then Once I played it some more, it started to unlock more of the menus and stuff from Far Cry 5, because I think just during the tutorial, it doesn't give you access to everything. And then it was much more fleshed out. I mean, it really literally feels exactly like Far Cry 5. Like, you get the map, and it's got all the people you can acquire for your squad. You get the map with, like, the littered with the little things you need to overtake. I mean, it's literally just more Far Cry, which is kind of what you expect. Plus, you know, it's $40, plus it uses the same map, so it seems like they really got the, they get where that game fits in, like, the Far Cry price point. Like, what's the one set in prehistoric times? Primal?
Yeah.
That one used the same map, but they weren't quite as upfront about it. And
yeah, it was a big scandal when people realized that, I remember.
Yeah, and it charged a full $60. But this one, they're charging $40, and they were upfront that it's a sequel and it's set in the same area, which helped them develop it faster.
Yeah, I think I'm burned out on Far Cry right now. Like, I don't really have an interest in this. The only thing I would care about is how they tie in Joseph Seed and the what is it called? Eden's Gate, I think. And I can look that up on YouTube, so I don't think I'll buy it.
I don't even think Eden's Gate is that much tied into it, because there's a new villain.
Right. I saw the launch trailer, and it had a bunch of Eden's Gate stuff in it, so that's why I brought it up.
And then Crackdown 3. So I've played a lot more of Crackdown 3 than I have of any of the other new releases. I really do not like the multiplayer, which I kind of said when it was in development and we did the technical test and stuff. It's, you don't look at Crackdown for multiplayer. So I don't think anyone was wanting this, but the cloud destruction that was so much touted throughout the development is really kind of almost embarrassing, because it's like cardboard little pieces that fall out and you can see the geometry of it. So it doesn't really seem like it's, I mean, the destruction's better in Battlefield Bad Company and other games. So it's kind of hard.
Don't knock on Battlefield and Bad Company like that.
No, I'm knocking on Crackdown because it did it worse.
That's the best Battlefield game
with a newer technology. Facts. And the multiplayer just isn't that fun. Plus, and you know, this is looking ahead to something I had down in the news, it doesn't support parties. So you can't play with your friends at launch. They say they're working on it, but like if you jump into Crackdown multiplayer right now, if you and I were in a party, it would match us separately and we wouldn't even be in the same game.
Yeah, I don't know. From what I've seen, it's just more the same, and the story or whatever, the campaign is really repetitive. So, I don't know. It's disappointing, but I can't say I'm totally surprised that this kind of shook out this way.
And so, like, the multiplayer, I'd say, isn't even worth playing unless you just want a quick fun. But, I mean, that's fine. The campaign, it definitely feels like more of Crackdown 1, but it hasn't evolved in any of the ways you would expect a game to, with all the changes we've had in action and 3D games in that time period.
I feel like this game is like 10 years too late, because I think it's a better sequel to Crackdown 1 than Crackdown 2 was, from what I've seen, at least, of gameplay and the story. But, and it, like you told me after you played it last week, that it looks dated visually. So couple those things together, and I feel like this, unfortunately, should have been put out, you know, a lot closer to when it was announced, which was, what, 6 years ago? I think when Xbox One launched, they teased it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was later than that, but that sounds right. I mean, not quite 6 years ago, but in 2013, certainly. And I feel like back then, if they had it ready then or soon thereafter, it would have fit in a lot better than it does now. And it doesn't help that it's competing with, I know Metro isn't a major title, but it's still pretty significant. And then also Far Cry, and then Anthem next week, and then The Division about 3 weeks after that. So I just feel like we've talked about this a lot, that this whole window, you would think companies would move titles. Like, already, I know Metro was moved, because it originally, I think, was the 22nd. I think it was supposed to be the same day as Anthem.
Moved up a week, actually.
Yeah, so a lot of them moved up. So some of them, I mean, but I don't even think moving up a week really matters in the grand scheme of things. Like, a week is nothing. So, I don't know. Like I said, I can't say I'm surprised. I think this game would have been better off coming out 5 years ago or not coming out at all, as bad as that sounds. But I don't know. I mean, it's kind of...
I would fight back against that, though, because I feel the same way I do about Fallout 76 on this. It's a flawed game, and it's not even as buggy as Fallout 76. It's definitely more polished than that. It's just, but I can still enjoy it. I still have fun. I just can also recognize that it's not a 10 out of 10 game.
Yeah.
This isn't God of War. It's not going to win Game of the Year 2019, but it's still fun. That said, yeah, you're right. It definitely feels like a game that should have come out 5 years ago. But, I mean, like, you know, Saints Row 4, the one that had superheroes and all that kind of stuff? It feels like that game.
Wow.
Which,
that game was
prettier. It's prettier, but the story, you know, it's light on story. It's very high on just, like, explosions. The gameplay is a little repetitive. I played it for, like, I don't know, 3 hours yesterday, and I feel like I've seen everything there is to see. Like, yeah, I can level up more, and I'm going to play it more, and it's fun, but it's not, like, it's not Red Dead 2. It's not, like, addicting.
Right.
But it is fun. They definitely nailed Crackdown. It just feels like Crackdown doesn't have a place in 2019 anymore.
I think it'll just be another footnote to Xbox One's kind of sketchy, not sketchy, but mixed bag history in general.
Well, I think if you like Crackdown, you'll probably enjoy it, but I don't
think
know
so too.
Plus, I mean,
but that's not a huge market anymore.
No, but I mean, like I said, I didn't buy it. I got it in Game Pass, which I know some people take as a knock, but I think in that regard, there's a lot of stuff on Netflix that isn't, you know, I wouldn't have gone to see at the movie theater, but I really enjoyed because it was already available to me in Netflix. And I feel that way about this. Like, I probably wouldn't have bought this based on the reviews and the quality that's there, but because I have easier access to it, I am enjoying myself, and I will probably play 20 or 30 hours and finish the campaign of it just and have the fun that is there. So, okay, let's move to the news. First story, Obsidian was doing an interview with Game Informer. I think I mentioned this on a previous episode, but they're the cover story of the March issue of Game Informer magazine. So they're putting out content every couple days or every week as a part of their kind of cover story hub on their website. One of the interviews they did, they talked about the length of the game, and the interviewer specifically said, is this going to be a 15 to 40 hour game, or is it going to be a much longer, like
100 hour game?
And they said that 15 to 40 hours was about right. And they said that it would probably be on par with the length of KOTOR 2 or slightly shorter. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, I put this story in here just because I'm really excited for this game. And the idea of a 15 to 40-hour game sounds amazing to me because I'm kind of getting tired of the 100-hour games and just getting burned out on open-world games in general. So, I don't know. It's good that they're focusing on quality over quantity. And since this is kind of their first solo foray for the most part, I think it'll be good to keep it more measured in that regard.
I think they also in the interview mentioned some stuff about like making it highly replayable so that 15 to 40 hours is there for people that just want to play it once, but there's also some depth to people that want to revisit and play through multiple times. And I hope that includes a new game plus so that there's like an incentive to do that.
Yeah. So I think IGN, you're right, it was a Game Informer interview, but IGN was quoting them, and they have some screenshots in here, and I'm excited to learn more about this game, because one of these screenshots makes me think that you have like a spaceship of sorts that's kind of like your home base, but we have such little information about this game. But
well, I read some of the Game Informer cover story, and I believe some scientist is trying to do an experiment, and so all these people are on a spaceship in cryogenesis, and he goes and wakes one up, and you wake up like 40 years in the future or whatever. And so that spaceship where he woke you up from potentially might be the spaceship you're seeing.
Oh yeah.
Guess that. So I don't know if it's your home base, like if you're going to go back there to like store your stuff, or whether you'll have a terrestrial like habitat. But I think that's the concept art for that spaceship.
Yeah.
So the next story, and this is a recurring story, but we talked about Apex Legends, the surprise release from Respawn in the Titanfall universe. It's a battle royale game. It is taking the world by storm, and they announced that after only 7 days of after release, they'd hit 25 million players.
Yeah, so I don't have a lot of friends on my friends list that play Fortnite, but I did notice this week that a lot of the people I do know that are prone to play Fortnite, we're all playing Apex Legends this week. So maybe that's a good thing, good sign for the downfall of Fortnite. Finally,
yeah.
Maybe upon us.
I think two signs that it is potentially dethroning Fortnite in the near future is, one, it beat Fortnite's all-time viewer record. So like their peak viewer record, I think, was like 4.5 million. Apex Legends hit 6 million for peak viewership, which is huge. And second, Fortnite is making their latest battle pass free if you get do some challenges in the game. Potentially, the implied thing there is that it's to answer that they're losing players because Apex Legends is out. So to draw people back in, they're making the battle pass free. I think they can coexist, but I am kind of tired of Fortnite being the game killer that is the only game a lot of people play.
So many battle royale games, and I just don't know who's playing them. Like 25 million players, I mean, that has to be taking from PUBG and Fortnite and Blackout, and I mean, Battlefield 5's battle royale isn't even out yet, and it's not out for another month.
Yeah, so. This is definitely the best. Like I played Apex Legends and then went back to playing Fortnite in the same day, or not Fortnite, sorry, PUBG. PUBG felt archaic compared to the simplicity and UI design of Apex Legends.
I know when I played a little bit of it the day it came out or the day after it came out, and I just felt like a slug because I never play online shooters anymore. And it was just like, I looked like if you ever gave like your mom or dad a controller and were just like, told them the controls, like what buttons to press and how to shoot at people. And then this was the first time they ever did it. That's how I felt like I looked. So I don't know. It's been such a long time since I was really invested in online shooters that it'll take a lot for me to get back into it.
So Apex Legends is currently my go-to for multiplayer. So I'm playing that whenever I want to jump in for like a quick couple matches or when I'm playing with friends. And I'm usually playing something else for single player. Like right now I'm playing Crackdown 3 and Assassin's Creed. By the way, I played the new Challenge Tomb on Tomb Raider last night too.
Your $35 tomb purchase?
Hey, they're doing 7 DLC tombs and this was like the fourth one. So I'm getting my money's worth. I'm going to play them.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad somebody is. One of the probably like 6,000 people in the United States that bought that season pass.
Way more than 6,000 people bought that.
I know, I'm kidding. But so speaking of your go-to multiplayer game, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I already I already went back on my @EA tweet and I reinstalled Madden. Yeah. So Gus and I have been back playing our multi-form franchise.
Well, at least you acknowledge the hypocritic behavior. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, the glitch has only happened twice. Since I reinstalled it, so I don't even know if it's a glitch. I don't know what you'd call it.
I told him it might have been a bug during installation, that it just something went wrong when it was installing and it bugged his game, and that now that he's reinstalled that it might not be an issue, but
Only happened twice, and it was happening like twice a game, so I don't know. Maybe you're onto something there.
Apex Legends, to me, now since we're on the EA train, I have it installed, and I opened it up today. But I just couldn't bring myself to start a game on my own. It's like multiplayer games. It's like that. It's like I can't bring myself to play them solo. So I'm sure if we all play, then I'll play. But I have it downloaded. If that says anything about it, which is more than can be said for most other games.
I guess when it comes to battle royales, you guys are both filthy casuals because I'm the only battle royale player here.
It's a big win for Respawn and by extension EA. Because EA's been just notoriously bad, and we all know how much I have a high disdain for them. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how I play if I do.
I think it's hilarious again that they're just cannibalizing Battlefield 5 Battle Royale, whatever that's called. Yeah, it's not even out yet.
Well, so we talked about this like last week. Battlefield 5 sold like 6.3 million. And that was under their projections, and they just put out a free-to-play game that had 25 million in a week.
Yeah.
And even a fraction of those people spending money in the game, this game won't take very long to overtake Battlefield 5 as far as profitability and revenue generation.
Yeah, and I don't even think Battlefield 5 is a bad game. I think EA just shot themselves in the foot by both their own bad press as a company, but then also just I don't think Battlefield 5 was marketed very well. And I think people were just kind of turned off for a variety of reasons in general. So I think Apex Legends, I mean, Titan or Respawn said that EA didn't have anything to do with it. So, I mean, that gives them a head start as it is. So I don't know.
Well, so going from talking about EA's financial call like we did last week, this week Activision had their financial call. So there were a bunch of tidbits that came out of that. The biggest one that has dominated headlines has been that Activision had their most profitable year ever, doubling their profit from 2017 to 2018, and they rewarded that by laying off 8% of their workforce, 800 people. Now, they said after that, so first of all, these were mostly non-developer positions is the way they described it, meaning like admin, marketing, PR, that kind of stuff. But they said they're going to use some of that money to reinvest in developers, and they were going to hire as much as 20% in additional developers for the following key franchises. Tell me what you guys feel about these. Call of Duty, Candy Crush, Overwatch, Warcraft, Hearthstone, and Diablo.
So all their big money makers.
You know what struck me is from those franchises? These are all the ones that either have heavy microtransaction components, aka heavy revenue drivers.
Mm-hmm, like Candy Crush and Overwatch.
Yep. Well, and even
Hearthstone.
Hearthstone and Diablo are long-term franchises now. Yeah. Not microtransactions in Diablo, but but these are all like heavily monetized. Like they either are annualized or they have a microtransaction revenue stream, or they have really long tails. None of these are like exciting new franchises, right, or anything that
like
they're
Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
They're not investing in players here. They're Switch, investing in revenue,
yeah,
which is worrisome.
Well, I mean, they're smart. Call of Duty is literally the top selling game every single year, so their number one objective as a company is to make money. So
is
I don't
it,
blame
though?
Them for that. Yeah, it is. It's literally
didn't,
year
didn't
over
Red
year.
Dead beat them this year?
I don't think so.
Pretty sure they did. It's like anytime a Rockstar game comes out, they win best selling that year.
Well, I know that they Call of Duty was number one, but it was because they had more weeks that month. But I think for the full year, Red Dead actually won because they sold 23 million, I believe it was, for the full year. Spencer's double checking us on that. So the other thing that came out of the call was they talked about why they cut ties with Destiny studio Bungie. So they ended their 10-year agreement early, and there was all kinds of speculation. Heck, we had a whole episode about it when Macca was on the show. They gave three reasons. First, they don't own the underlying Destiny IP, which they, you know, that prevents them from monetizing it in other ways, like spin-off video games, mobile video games, merchandising, all that kind of stuff. The second reason they gave was Destiny, I'm going to quote them, Destiny is highly critically acclaimed and high quality content, but it was not meeting our financial expectations.
Okay.
So comparing to that, which is funny because like players have always hated the microtransaction store in that game, and yet it still wasn't meeting their financial expectations.
I remember I read that and I thought that just was like a very backwards statement.
And then the third one they said is Activision's scarcest resources is their developer talent. And basically they had a bunch of extra studios, not extra, but like studios that Activision owns working on the Destiny IP, and they don't own that IP. They were just putting resources into getting a game out.
It's on loan.
According to the Motley Fool, number one was Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Red Dead Redemption 2 was second.
I guess I'm wrong.
NBA 2K19, third. Far Cry 5, fourth. And Madden NFL 19 is five.
Should look for NPD because that is the NPD's yearly numbers. I have their site bookmarked, the NPD numbers. But anyway, yeah, this is kind of, I mean, we talked about it before. I'm glad that Activision and Bungie parted ways. I just hope it doesn't have a negative effect on Bungie's games, like because they're not experienced in publishing themselves. And this will be, you know, they cut ties with Microsoft and then they cut ties with Activision, and now they're going to do it their own way. You just don't want that to negatively impact whatever is next for the studio because they have growing pains in the publishing arm. So the third thing to come out of the Activision investor call is Call of Duty 2019 is going to bring back the single player campaign. So they said it'll have single player, multiplayer, and they're going to have a new co-op mode. What I thought was interesting about this is, one, does this mean that the single player mode not being in the 2018 game was, like rumors suggested, because it didn't come together and they had to cut it at the last minute, so it wasn't intended to always not have a multiplayer or a single player? Second, no, they say new co-op mode. Does that mean Blackout is not going to have a sequel in the 2019 game for a battle royale game?
Maybe it means co-op, same multiplayer, not co-op multiplayer, co-op campaign. That'd be kind of cool.
Or something like Spec Ops from
that's
Modern
what I was
Warfare
thinking.
2. And I
also,
three.
NPD has it the other way around, has Red Dead first.
I would trust NPD over Motley Fool. No offense to the Motley Fool, but NPD is kind of the resource for this.
Yeah.
So Red Dead is bigger.
Yeah.
It's so hard to find a definitive list on these websites.
Well, it's because some publishers don't publish their numbers to anyone besides.
Well, it's not even, I don't mean that. I mean, just these websites are so disorganized.
Oh, yeah. So I was thinking the new co-op mode could be, it could be a version of Zombies, because that's normally the co-op mode.
And I mean, that's usually, it's usually not, we had, what was it? It was Black Ops 4 that just came out, right?
Yeah.
And so that's usually, like, their thing. It's either Black Ops or it's, like, World War II is where they do the Zombies 4. I mean, I guess they
did. They've all had it now.
Yeah, I guess they did it in World War II, but I don't know. I feel like the Zombies in World War II is still fairly fresh, and that's what I would usually play if I was playing Zombies, but...
Do you think they're going to not have a Battle Royale mode, Spencer? Does that make sense to you? Because like, it seems like every game has that now, especially with Call of Duty having it this year and it being a huge hit.
I mean, I think maybe somebody's realizing that we're reaching terminal velocity. That's not the right word, but you know what I mean.
Peak
Battle Royale, and by the time this game comes out, you know,
the fad might be
nine
finished.
Months from now, we might be moving on from something different, or at least... it'll be trickling down. You know what I mean?
They can continue to support Blackout too. So it's not like they're completely out of the Battle Royale scene should it stay popular. So they can just continue to support that, like how Rockstar is still supporting Grand Theft Auto 5.
I saw someone suggest, actually not someone, lots of people have suggested that spinning Blackout mode out as a separate downloadable title actually makes a lot of sense. Because
it does make sense.
Even it, like, especially if you made it, say, free to play and added a cosmetic shop, which a lot of previous Call of Duties have had, then it puts it in a space where it can compete with Apex and Fortnite. Although I still think Apex is a superior product, but I think that's the way to keep that fresh. Because otherwise, if you release a new Battle Royale every single year with every new Call of Duty title, you're constantly fragmenting that audience and you're never going to maintain. A big part of Battle Royale is streamers playing your game, and if you're constantly cutting yourself by putting out a new one,
if you just keep catering to one particular portion of your audience, then eventually the rest of your product's going to suffer. So
the last major news story of the week is that in doing press for Anthem, BioWare said that they are not done with the Mass Effect franchise, which I think there's been little hints at before that, you know, EA specifically said that they were shelving it for the time being. But this is the first acknowledgement that we've heard that it may not be done like long term. Like this kind of implies that maybe they're even having something cooking.
Yeah. So in that PC Gamer article that we have in here, they don't have anything concrete, they said. Plus Dragon Age is probably next because it would make sense kind of in their release cycle. But yeah, I think it's funny they're kind of throwing the Frostbite engine under the bus because they said that's probably why that's probably the biggest part of Andromeda's struggles, because they had to, I guess, rebuild things from the ground up because they didn't use a different engine versus the first three games. And they also said that Andromeda was rebooted multiple times, including failed experiments. So they tried doing procedurally generated planets, which I feel like might have been interesting. I don't know. People seem to have frowned and soured on the whole procedurally generated game recently. But another thing interesting in here about Andromeda is they said the bulk of the game that we played was apparently developed in an 18-month sprint. So I don't know, man.
Sounds like EA.
That sounds like Destiny 1.
Yeah. I don't know. And they kind of close out this little article blurb with, imagine a new Mass Effect game built with new technology in a less fraught production phase. And it's probably what we were owed the last time around. But yeah, I don't know.
I still need to finish Mass Effect Andromeda, because if you can get past the facial animations,
you can't, though.
I know, but it looks good. The problem is, to me, the worst part about it is it's repetitive.
Yeah.
I liked the story personally. I thought it was actually interesting.
How do we always end up crapping on Mass Effect Andromeda every week?
Anthem. It's just like,
It's usually just, EA.
There's nothing that's good about it other than, like, it's pretty to look at. That's honestly, in my opinion, that's the only thing you can say that's unequivocally positive about that game, is it's pretty to look at. But, like, the animations aren't that great. It's repetitive. The sound editing I don't think is very good. Like, all the guns sound the same, feel the same. And it does get really repetitive. Like, they took the fetch missions of Dragon Age Inquisition and turned it up to 100, trying to be like The Witcher, which had similar... ideas of go here and do this, but The Witcher got it right by actually infusing story in each and every one of those. I just played another game, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. There's a good balance, I think, Gus can attest to this maybe, between they give you fetch missions, yes, but I would say more often than not, there's enough story randomly injected into them that it makes it kind of interesting and worth your time. I mean, there are certainly plenty of fetch quests in that are a pain in the butt and you're just going through the motions with it, as it's going to be with any game that's that massive. But with Andromeda, they just completely missed that, and it was felt lifeless and dull. And
are you guys going to get
I'm done ranting
Anthem?
About that. I'm not, no. So, same reason I haven't really played. I just don't play online games.
So, well, not my but speed. You can play it completely single player.
Yeah, like, I know.
I'm seeing that from the PC players that are playing it now, it seems like it's being well received. And I have it pre-installed on my machine. I just am not doing a trial, so I'm waiting for the full release next Friday.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great game.
Or this Friday.
It looks good, and there definitely were gameplay elements that I enjoyed from the beta, but I still have Forza to beat. I just bought the BioShock collection, which is more my speed, you know, single player story driven. When people say those are two of the greatest games ever, I mean, it comes with all three of them, but I didn't install Infinite because I've played it.
Yeah, one and three are, I've played half of, yeah.
But so I've heard that both of those games are two of the best games on 360, and certainly the first one is one of the best games of all time. So I have that to do in Metro. I don't have a lot of time.
By the way, Metro looks fantastic.
I know, it looks
Are you
really
going to start
good.
It this week?
Possibly. Like I said, I'm going to wait till I get paid, which is Wednesday. So
yeah, you should definitely get that before the next show.
Gus, do you have something?
I was going to
Go.
Add to the Mass Effect thing and that.
Oh no, we're still on this.
No, I felt like it needed to be said in that Mass Effect and most RPG games, in my opinion, are only as good as their side quests. So it's like in every like in Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, the side quests or like the side mission arcs were amazing. Like in Mass Effect 1, you had like the Cerberus arc, and then obviously that ties into Mass Effect 2 because then you join Cerberus, and obviously you can kind of go throughout Mass Effect 1 without even like playing or even really like hardly hearing about Cerberus, but like if you really dive deep into it, it really adds a lot of credence into Mass Effect 2. And then Mass Effect 2, you have the loyalty missions are all very interesting that you go around. You're helping your squad mates, which obviously leads into Mass Effect 3 because that will keep them alive or they'll be dead, which will add more to the story of Mass Effect 3, and it affects the outcome of the game. And then with Andromeda, if you asked me to talk about any of the side missions, I would not be able to recall a single one. So
while you're saying that, I just thought of this and related to Mass Effect, and I think you could compare Mass Effect 1 and Andromeda because a lot of Mass Effect 1's kind of gameplay is going to random planets mm-hmm. that don't necessarily have inhabitants or, you know,
They were trying to get back to that, I think, and as part of it.
I don't think it's rose-colored glasses. I think legitimately they tried to copy it, and they did such a good job that it was as barren as a 2007 game, but it just looked pretty. And that just didn't translate into the current gen.
They said it was boring. Like a lot of dead space.
It was just boring.
Where, no pun intended, with another
EA butchered franchise.
Yeah, game, yeah. But I don't know. That's my two cents on Andromeda. I thought the main story was great. And I haven't played it in so long, but
I think that's why I quit playing halfway through, is I got bored with the side content. Like,
there's the definitely, side stuff isn't interesting.
I think there's definitely a good air of mystery about the main story in that game, which I think gets lost on a lot of people just because they can't get past the other stuff.
Maybe we're spoiled because I played Mass Effect like all out of order to begin with. So for me, Mass Effect 1 was already there by the time I got to 2 and 3. So I guess me saying that these things tie in, and that's what I find so interesting, is kind of lost on the fact that Andromeda doesn't have a sequel yet. So I mean,
yeah, and I feel like after the reception of Andromeda, they're not even like, you could easily make a sequel to Andromeda and fix what's broken and fix the animation and pick up the story and go with it, but they won't because the reception was so poor to Andromeda. You know they're going to do something stupid like a prequel to Mass Effect 1.
They even shelved all of the DLC, like at the very end they're talking about the Quarians, and it's like you don't even get to see that at all. I thought that was like poor form for them to just completely cancel everything.
The Quarians and all the other not as important.
I mean, they did say in the article that the lore is deep enough that they could do a lot. Like, I would love to see something about like First Contact, like the First Contact War. I feel like that would be very interesting.
Yeah, I think
like
honestly, going
up on the Mass Effect relay by Pluto.
Yeah,
cool.
I think I like that. Yeah, that does sound cool. But I think Gus is right. Yeah, I think it would have to be a prequel. I don't think. Because you can't
to Andromeda or to the original
Mass Effect
trilogy.
1. It has to be a prequel, I think, because you can't go after Mass Effect 3 except for, I guess, you could go like 100 years in the future and then set the canon ending as the good ending.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot there's not a whole lot that you could add to a prequel because it's like between Mass Effect 1 and like the First Contact Wars was only what, like 30 years.
Yeah. And the problem you always have with prequels is it takes the stakes out of everything because you kind of know where it's going.
That's true. That is very true.
I guess that's where they did something good with Andromeda, which was setting it in a different galaxy with a different purpose. The execution just wasn't there, which is what they need to go with. And it also had that Mass Effect 1 feel of exploration and charting new territory, but
just wasn't executed.
I mean, I guess
which is the problem because now they're going to back away from it because people hated it so much, but that they're going to kill probably what worked about it, which was that it had a lot of good ideas, they just weren't executed to the level they needed to be.
So one final Mass Effect Andromeda complaint: all your squad mates sucked and they didn't make it fun. All right, moving on. Division 2 open beta.
Let's move on to the quick hit section. These are all smaller stories. Division 2 is getting an open beta. This was leaked, or not leaked, but they mentioned it briefly on a stream and then they officially announced it. So the open beta will be March 1st, so anyone can play the Division 2 beta on March 1st. I don't know how long it's going to go for, but you got to imagine it'll be a couple days.
Yeah. I think it's a weekend, so it's probably another weekend deal.
I'm really liking what I've played in the Division 2 so far, so I think that's worth your time if you're on the fence.
Yeah, I was going to say just quickly, I think of all of these games that have been betas and demos and stuff thrown out for them recently, of multiplayer games, Division 2 is probably the one that I would invest in just because it's the most real, in quotes. So
I don't think it's going to be like a perfect game. There's definitely some flaws there, you know, like 8 out of 10
bullet
kind of
sponges,
material. But
enemies.
I still think it's going to be a good game. And if you like Division 1, you're probably going to like this.
Yeah,
it's going to be better than Division 1, but it's not going to be like a perfect game. And it definitely has some flaws. So, but it's nowhere near on the level of like Crackdown 3 or Jump Force as far as like not being a good game or as far as repetitiveness and stuff. But anyway, moving on. Next up, THQ Nordic is at it again. They acquired Kingdom Come Deliverance developer Warhorse Studios.
I just added that game to my wishlist on Xbox Live.
I was about to, like, my next sentence was going to be, how has Spencer not played this game? This is like,
it hasn't been on sale. It's literally been $40 or more since launch.
Isn't it on sale now?
Not for less than $40. Oh. Maybe $30, maybe $29.99.
It's like the Spenceriest Spencer game ever.
Yeah, I know.
A medieval RPG.
For those listening to this on the day it releases, if you haven't gotten Ace Combat 7 yet, because I also added that to my wish list, the launch edition goes off sale on the 17th, or not the 17th, the 18th of February. And that gives you a couple of airplanes and some camos and stuff. So if you're into that and you've been holding out, get it before you can lose out on some free stuff.
So this is one of the more interesting things acquired by THQ Nordic because it isn't just an IP. They've acquired an entire studio, which means they have quite a few development studios already. But, I mean, this one, they got an IP and a development studio, which means they could potentially inject a ton of cash into this studio to make a sequel.
Yeah, what this is telling me is that Saints Row 5 is going to be an RPG developed by Warhorse Studios. All right, next story.
That was insane. This one is really strange. Well, not really strange, but it's very un-Activision-like. So Guitar Hero, the last game released, they're giving refunds to anyone that bought the game from December 2017 to December 2018, basically, or maybe even up to today. And so the reason is they are shutting down the Guitar Hero TV service, which was where you could like play in front of like live, it was like online connected and they streamed like music videos or something. I honestly didn't play that game, so I don't know what the feature is, but it's basically half the game. So they're shutting that down. So anybody that bought it in the year prior to
basically
them announcing
2018.
The shutdown, they're going to refund their money, because basically you only got a year's worth of the online service, and they feel like that wasn't enough. But if you bought it at launch and you got to play for 3 years or whatever, they're not giving you your money back, which is really weird, because I guess they are implying that if you got to play it since launch, you got your money's worth, and if you only bought it in the last year, you didn't. Honestly, the way this was buried, unless they emailed the people that played the game, like, I expect they're not going to get a lot of these people fill this out, because they're not like advertising it that heavily. Like, if you didn't see this news site, you're not going to know to fill out this form and get your money refunded. Plus, you have to have proof of purchase, or they said even if you don't, they'll help you try and find it. But like, who keeps a receipt for a video game they bought a year and a half ago?
So our next story is kind of a combination of stories. AC Odyssey is getting its new game plus later in February, so that's of interest to Gus and myself. I think they're bumping the level cap to 99, and
jeez,
yeah, I'm 66. I don't know what I am. I'm like high 50s. You played Origins.
Origins again. I'm getting back
and
going.
You were messaging me at like after midnight, asking me these very obscure questions. And I was like, man, I haven't played that game in like 8 months. I can't help you.
Well, but I was trying to
look
figure
it
out
up on YouTube.
The combat. Like, yeah, and I figured you'd know, because I figured it's a similar in Odyssey.
Yeah, just dodge roll. But there's a shield in that game. There isn't a shield in Odyssey.
Yeah. Well, I was having trouble fighting a certain
enemy. Yeah, that's why they got rid of it.
Could do that, like the Wonder Woman thing.
Wait, why'd they get rid of it?
They got rid of the shield in Odyssey because they're just pointless.
Yeah, you just dodge roll. Yeah. It's easier and faster. And then also...
And blocks, your blocks could get broken anyway by like the big guys. So it's like, well, no point.
Those were the guys I was struggling to fight, was the really big guys with the shields.
So you're just like, those. Yep, so you're like, yep.
The Ezio collection was on sale for $10 this past week.
Wait, you're missing... So, Last week we were talking about how the Ezio collection...
Yeah, it's never on sale below $20. And it was on sale for $10, but on PS4, not Xbox One.
Well, so last time it was on sale on Xbox, it was $15.
Yeah.
And we said last week that we were waiting to buy it when it was $10.
It was $10.
And the reason is because I already own them all on 360, so I'm not going to repay.
That's part of the reason why I haven't bought it yet, and why I pulled the trigger on BioShock when it was $15, because I've never played those first two games.
Three games for $15 is a really good deal.
Well, I'm not going to play Infinite, but I get what you're saying. So, and also Rogue was on sale, Rogue Remaster, for $15, but I'm never buying that because I played it through one time and that was enough.
So third party games like this, that when they go on sale on one console, they almost always go on sale for a similar price on the other console. So I think what this means is we're probably going to see the Ezio collection for $10 in the Xbox Spring sale, which is at the end of
March.
Yeah, you
said that. I don't know. I've talked a big game that I would buy it if it was $10, but we all know I talk a big game about buying stuff and I never do.
Which is funny, because then you end up buying, like you did,
random.
You did say you were going to buy the Madden collection or the Madden Super Bowl edition, and you did. And then you text me about BioShock.
I'm a savvy buyer, okay?
And then you did buy that.
Yeah.
You know what? You're buying all this stuff.
Well,
you know what you need to play?
The Ezio games. What?
You need to play what I bought you for your birthday. Thronebreaker.
I started playing that last week or earlier this week, and that is not a game that treats you well after you've been gone for some time, because it's like, I don't remember any of these tips and tricks, and the online guides aren't very helpful. So I did play a little bit of it, but I don't know. It's hard to get back into.
Like me when I stopped playing The Witcher 3 for a year and then went back and was I don't know how to do anything.
But The Witcher 3 is inherently just an RPG game. With the Thronebreaker, it's its own game. Like, it's its own special card game with rules and intricacies. A little bit different, but I appreciate the effort.
Okay, and in one of the weakest entries in the back compatible edition section this week, they added... That was where you were supposed to fill the blank.
The King of Fighters 13, which looks like an interesting anime-type game. JRPG, excuse me. And Orcs Must Die, both Xbox 360 titles.
Yeah, so...
And I've never heard of either of them, but if either of those tickle your fancy, then they are now backwards compatible, and presumptively you can buy them on the store.
And... Okay.
They're probably $20 each, though.
Well, more back compat's always good. Somebody wants
also,
to
also, games with gold, we can talk about this briefly. You just missed out on Assassin's Creed Rogue. I actually checked the box on that, so I have that digitally and physical now. And starting as the day of recording this, but 2 days. So by the time you're listening to this, sorry, that was very convoluted. You'll be able to get... You'll still be able to get... What is that? Curse of the Moon? What is it? Curse of the Blood?
The Castlevania kind of ripoff. What's it? Bloodstained?
Yeah, Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon. I'm sorry. I am dropping the ball on this. And you'll also be able to get Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy, an original Xbox title, and Super Bomberman.
Is it Super Bomberman
about that?
Super Bomberman R or Super Bomberman S? There's some letter after it.
I'm pulling up the Xbox wire. Hold on. Superman, Bomberman R.
Yep, it is an R.
So yeah, Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon is until February 28th. Bomberman R, Super Bomberman R is until March 15th. And you just missed out on Rogue, like I said. And then Jedi Knight Jedi Academy is also until February 28th.
And a late addition to the Quick Hits section.
My only addition.
Oh, this was you, Gus?
Yeah, I added this at the very end. I wanted to say something about it. Yeah.
So it seems like there was some sort of legal dispute with the Machinima name, and the official Machinima social channels have rebranded as their old name. Yeah,
Inside Gaming.
Inside Gaming, and the original four guys from Machinima are now rebranded and doing it as Inside Gaming.
Yeah.
What I don't understand, because I didn't read the full story, and I honestly, it was too much to take in on social media.
Yeah, I saw like a huge statement about it from the Inside Gaming guys.
But what happened to Machinima? All their content is gone?
They just, like if you go to their YouTube channel right now, they have one video, and it was like, it's from like a year ago, and it's like something that I like have no interest in. It's something like weird. It's like they missed a game. They missed a video when they deleted them.
What happened? There was some sort of dispute, but like, how does it, like, does anyone know what happened?
It sounds to me like they were having, like, they had a ownership or leadership that wasn't very effective, and so basically they just had disputes, like, and just kind of just like plummeted Machinima for, like, since 2015, which is, I mean, it's 4 years. I mean, so it was kind of, it seemed like it was a pretty slow death. Because I remember watching Machinima videos as like a kid, like playing like Halo and stuff, and like Arby and the Chief was like the big one, like for me, that like, and that show ran for like many seasons, and like it, I don't know, they might still be on YouTube somewhere else, but I mean, I know that they were on Machinima, and that's where their home was for the last like 10 years.
It's very confusing because if you look at Machinima Inc.'s Wikipedia page, it says was, so it's in the past tense. And it says that in January 2019, they abruptly discontinued their YouTube channels, which I remember when that happened. And then in February, I think, so a couple days ago, they officially ceased operations. And then it says the rights to Machinima content were reverted to their respective creators. And it says their fate is merged into Fullscreen, which is, I don't know, apparently that's an entertainment company. I've never heard of them. So I don't know. It's very confusing because it also says that their successor, in addition to Fullscreen, is Rooster Teeth. So yeah. I don't know. I remember watching their stuff, when I was in high school, so that is kind of sad.
It's all really confusing, but what's most sad is, I guess now each individual creator, if they have the original video file, needs to re-upload it, but they may not all have kept their content. They may have left it at their employer when they were there.
The original Arby and the Chief guys.
That's why it's kind of crazy, because Machinima was like, it started out as what? Just like, it was like a Halo, like, role-playing, like video kind of sharing service, basically, is like what I remember, like, it started out as
back in the Halo 2 days.
And then from then it just like started to get like huge. They started to branch out. They added Inside Gaming, and like they became like the gaming channel, I feel like, for years.
Okay, well, I think that's good on the news this week. That's everything I had. What do you guys are? So you're probably going to get into Metro. Guess what are you going to play this week?
BioShock.
I just re-downloaded. It's installing right now. Call of Duty, Modern Warfare. So COD 4.
Are you going to play multiplayer?
I'll probably play the multiplayer. And because I was watching Body of Lies, and they were using a G36, and I was like, wow, this is getting me nostalgia. So now I'm going to get my nostalgia fix for approximately probably 30 minutes.
Good. Well, we're heading into the next major release will be Anthem. So by next week's show, I will have played Anthem. And if it's good, I'll probably sell Spencer on it because I feel like it's up his alley. But then again, you aren't big on like the Destiny shared world shooter thing. So I feel like this is closest to your ideal game because it's a BioWare game. So if you were going to play a shared world shooter, this would be the one.
But yeah, maybe.
Next week will be the Anthem episode. So
and maybe the Metro episode.
That's true. Well, that's it for this week. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton, or you can email the show at questions@multiforumpodcast.com.
I'm Spencer Rain at Makes It Rain on Twitter and Rain101 on Xbox Live.
And then I'm Gus Harden. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Gus_Harden.
See you next week.
New episodes of Multiform post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find us and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your podcast app of choice.